Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show. And I'm also happy to have all of you check out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. You know, where we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. You guys know the deal. And on today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, our thoughts on Tom Brady stunning the sports world by leaving, you know, New England Patriots, the only organization he's ever known, you know, 20 years. We're going to dive into that and our thoughts. We're going to also talk about this, how the sports world has been put to a halt, you know, because of this pandemic. Of course, I'm talking about the coronavirus and how it stopped all the sports, put a stop to everything. And as a result, it's also affecting the upcoming WrestleMania and everything else, basically. So we're going to dive into that. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. Again, we'd love to hear from you and please feel free to make your voice heard. With that said, yeah, let's talk about the biggest news this week, right? Or you could even say in weeks. And, of course, I'm talking about Tom Brady, you know, taking his talent to Tampa Bay. And now he's gonna suit up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And to be honest with you, if you've been listening to this show for years, especially these past couple of weeks, with his free agency, you know, I thought for sure he was going to re-sign with the New England Patriots. I mean, you know, they've had a winning recipe over there for 20 years, highlighted by the 6 Super Bowl titles, you know, in New England, man. And, you know, him and Belichick, man, they made the perfect quarterback head coach duo in NFL history. So, you know, I mean, it was very stunning to me that Tom Brady is going to, you know, take a huge leap, leave everything he knows in New England and, you know, now join the Buccaneers. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Buccaneers, you know, they're a talented team, but, you know, the Patriots, man, you're going to leave Belichick. I mean, this is giving credence to the rumor that there's been a falling out between the two of them, you know. And basically the rumor is that Belichick was hoping that Brady would leave, you know, and fail, you know, out of his tutelage. And it really looks that way, that him and Tom Brady, you know, did in fact have him falling out. And Tom Brady wants to prove to the world that, you know, he's the greatest of all time because of his talent and not, you know, necessarily as a product of, you know, the genius that is Bill Belichick. What's your thoughts on everything?
I think, well, first of all, I was shocked well, with the news, I thought he was going to stay with Patriots and pretty much end his career on the Patriots. But, yeah, it's a bit shocking that he's going to the Buccaneers, you know. I'm guessing that he feels like he was kind of let down by the Patriots, that they didn't go hard as they should have in trying to keep him. I mean, this guy has been the face of the franchise for the last 20 years, and you just let him go that easily? I mean, that's complete disrespect, I think. But also, several years back, there were rumors that, you know, Belichick was trying to trade him to the 49ers and trying to keep Garofalo, but they ended up trading Garofalo instead. So I guess, you know, Brady, you know, felt disrespected, you know, by those rumors several years back. And, he, you know, he's always kept that with him. And, you know, he took this opportunity as a free agent to sign with another team and try to prove to the Patriots that he is that franchise and they're nothing without him. So we'll see, you know, what happens if who was really the genius. Was it Belichick or was it Brady? To find out next season. You know, if the Patriots can still win without Brady, then you know that it's all Belichick. But if they can't, then we'll find out it was Brady all along.
Yeah, it goes basically back to the chicken or the egg argument.
Mm-hmm.
Is you know, Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time because he had, you know, Belichick, you know, making the calls?
Yeah.
Or is Brady a Belichick a genius because of Tom Brady? You know, the former backup quarterback Drew Bledsoe, you know, until he, yeah, you know, the injury, Bledsoe's injury to the Jets that year, and then of course, you know, the rest is history with Tom Brady. So, me personally, I think it's a combination of the two. You know, they both needed each other, and I don't think neither of them is going to win a title without each other, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, look what happened with Kobe and Shaq. They had a beautiful relationship, won 3 titles, and then, you know, there was some, you know, infighting there, you know, resulted Phil Jackson, you know, leaving the organization for years until he came back. And then, you know, of course, prior to that, Shaq left, went to Miami, won the title. And then afterwards, you know, Kobe won the 2 titles with, you know, with the Lakers when he was, when he had that period, when he was thinking about leaving via free agency. But, you know, the most beautiful thing about it is that, you know, before, you know, Kobe's, you know, untimely passing, you know, they buried the hatchet.
Yeah.
And, you know, they became great friends, you know. You know, maybe even better than they were before, because, you know, they fully appreciated each other. They saw that, you know, they had their grasses greener on the other side, winning titles without each other. But, you know, they realized, you know, fortunately for them, you know, they realized that, you know, that they were perfect together.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, you know, most importantly, they resuscitated their franchise before. I mean, not the franchise, you know, their friendship.
Yep.
But I mean, I guess you could say they resuscitated the franchise too, because I mean, you know, after the Showtime Lakers, you know, they brought the Lakers back into prominence in the late 90s, early 2000s, or you should say early 2000s. You know, from 2000 on, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
it's shocking, but you know, we've seen great ones go to other franchises after they've had legendary careers with one franchise. I mean, we've seen Brett Favre go from the Packers to the Vikings,
and even
the Jets. Yeah, we've seen Jordan go from the Bulls. Well, Jordan retired after the Bulls twice. But after his second retirement, he decided to go into being a part owner of the team and then decided to play for them,
for
the Wizards, right, for the Wizards, I should say. So yeah, I mean, we've seen it from time to time. It's happened, but I never thought it would happen with Brady.
Neither did I. I mean, like I was saying weeks ago, you know, when Kobe passed away, that those were those guys that, you know, you envision would stay in their franchise for like 20 years, like Jeter, Tim Duncan, Kobe, you know, those legendary players. I mean, you know, they're iconic players, but what made them even more iconic is that they stayed loyal to their franchise and won at least 5 championships, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
With their respective teams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to happen. It happened with Ewing, you know, when he left the Knicks. It happened with Daryl Strawberry when he left the Mets, signed with Dodgers. You know, like the players, you know, they feel disenfranchised by the organization that they carried on their backs, and, you know, they want out. And then afterwards, you know, once they retire or they, you know, they leave, then they realize that they should have stayed. They shouldn't have let their egos get in the way of them finishing their career with a franchise they loved and basically put on the map I think Tom Brady is going to realize that soon, you know, hopefully him and Belichick will eventually bury the hatchet and, you know, they'll, you know, appreciate each other more, you know, after this decision.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're going to find out, as I said, who was the genius behind the Patriots. Was it Belichick or was it Brady? You know,
mm-hmm.
if you look at their career together, you know, Belichick has a better record coaching Brady than he does without coaching Brady. So
mm-hmm.
was Brady the actual mind behind the Patriots, or was it Belichick? We're going to find that answer in the next season.
Yeah, but then again, Belichick was smart enough to give Brady the shot after, you know, Bledsoe got hurt.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, it's kind of like the Wally Pipp, Lou Gehrig situation. Wally Pipp, if I'm not mistaken, he was a Hall of Fame third baseman for the Yankees. He had a day off, put in Lou Gehrig, and, you know, obviously he never got that. He never was able to play again, you know, for the Bronx Bombers, you know.
Yep.
And, of course,
yeah.
You know, Gehrig set the consecutive, you know, games played straight until Cal Ripken Jr. broke it, I think, in 96.
Yeah.
But, but I mean, I think obviously it's a combination of the two. You know, you can't have one without the other, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the end of an era, you know. For Patriots fans, it's a sad day. You know, they've had a great run, you know, and their most beloved player, you know, he's going, going elsewhere, so. Can just rest their head on that they had a great run. You know, they had the 6 titles to show for it. But you know, it's the end of an era.
Yeah, that's it. But you know, and he's gonna play in a new conference now. He's playing in the NFC
mm-hmm.
South.
Yep.
Which is gonna be tough because you also have the Saints in that division.
Mm-hmm.
You have who else is in that division again? I'm forgetting. Who's in that division again? Why am I going blank? Oh, Panthers. So it's not going to be as easy as the AFC East, where you have, you know, Bills, Jets, and
Dolphins,
you know. This is going to be a strong division next year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very competitive. And the NFC, you know, there you have the Niners also and some other teams, Packers, that are going to be good. So he's going to face some tough competition next year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's basically – it's kind of like that joke you were – that meme you sent me a few days ago. You know, the Buccaneer fans, you know, to basically, you know, joking on the whole situation that, you know, if you wasn't with us, you know, when we were 7 and 9, then you can't be with us when we go 8 and 8. So,
yeah. Mhm. Yep.
So, you know, basically, you know, the Buccaneers, they, you know, basically they're going to try to, you know, change their fortune around, having arguably the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, as a Jet fan, you know, I'm happy to see him go. You know, the Jets finally have a chance to try to hopefully win the division. You know, battle it out with the – try to win the division. As an NFL fan, you know, put my fandom aside, my hatred for the Patriots aside, you know, looking at it as an NFL fan, you know, I would say, you know, it's a sad day for NFL, you know. You got to – you know, the guy who's been the face of the NFL for, like, almost 2 decades, you know, and he's leaving his team that he – you know, he's been with his whole entire career, and you know, he's going elsewhere. It'd be like Derek Jeter going to the Tampa Bay Rays or something. You know, he's just, you know, leaving his franchise.
Yeah, it'd be kind of like that. You know, seeing a legend like Derek Jeter go to the team.
Just a light bulb just flicked in my head right now. Derek Jeter is responsible for him leaving.
Responsible for who leaving?
Tom Brady.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do I mean? Derek Jeter allegedly was one of the people he spoke with. I think Bill Gates was one of the people he spoke to, too. Like, they had, like, a secret meeting, a dinner, and basically Derek Jeter reportedly was one of the people who convinced Tom Brady – since apparently him and Brady are friends, you know, he convinced him to take his talents to Florida. Remember, Jeter is the owner of the Marlins.
Yeah, wow.
But yeah, supposedly the rumor is that Derek Jeter, I think Bill Gates was one of the people there also.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, they had a group dinner, and basically, Jeter was one of the people who convinced him to take this you know, leap of faith and go to the Buccaneers.
Wow. Well, you know, it's Tom Brady. He's 42 years old, and
you know,
he probably has a few more years left in him. You know, but I think he'll do well with the Buccaneers. I mean, the Buccaneers and the people are hyping them out to be championship contenders next year because of the signing, but I mean, they still need to do better on the defense. Their running game is still questionable. They have the wide receivers to compete, but are they a championship contending team? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I think they'll win some games, but I don't think, you know, they're gonna win the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, I think they're gonna need some time. They're gonna need a few more years for them to get to that level.
Right.
No, to be honest with you. It's kind of like LeBron James signed with the, you know, when he signed with the Lakers last year. People were saying, oh, you know, they're going to be bad for a long time. And I'm like, hey, man, this is the Lakers. You know, if you turn back the episodes that I did last year, and even the YouTube, Sports of Religion TV, you know, I was basically saying that, you know, it's the Lakers, you know, they're the Yankees of basketball, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him alone, he will recruit anybody to play in Siberia or on Mars with that talent. Not a top five player, an elite, a super elite player like that. He will get anybody to come on to play with him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, that's what happened with AD. And, you know, there's going to be more people that's going to come. As long as they you know, and some players are able to take, you know, a pay cut like the big three, LeBron, Wade and Bosch did when they took their talents. Well, I mean, Wade was already there. But when Bosch and LeBron took their talents to South Beach, you know, it worked out. So, and the Lakers had a, you know, has a great, you know, a great record. I mean, obviously it's affected by the coronavirus. You know, they can't play no more, but obviously, you know, it's them and the Bucks who are the real two elite teams in the NBA. So
yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that.
We'll see.
But speaking of the coronavirus, this you know, the virus, man. Obviously, you know, my thoughts and prayers, you know, go out to the people who are seriously affected by it. You know, there's a lot of people who's affected, who has the virus, who many people lost their lives. There's even a story in the news where there's one family that lost, you know, four members of it. You know, there's no words that you could say, man, you know, other than, you know, offering your condolences, you know, to them. But in a lighter news, you know, obviously, you know, sports is secondary, of course. But, you know, of course, as a result of this pandemic, sports have been, you know, along with everything, every form of entertainment has been, you know, put to, you know, a standstill because of this. You know, there's no sports. You know, all the NBA season is finished. I mean, the Knicks season has been finished since 2001, but I mean, the NBA season is done. MLB season's going to be postponed to at least mid-May as we speak right now. I mean, we don't even know if it'll even start in mid-May, but that's what right now is the rumor right now when it'll
mm-hmm.
start.
Yeah.
And NHL, I think they obviously stopped. NFL, the draft's going to be empty arena. You know, there's going to be no fans there. I mean,
A
lot of events canceled or the arenas. But right now, you know, everything is being postponed right now. So, I mean, it's really hectic. I mean, if other than this Tom Brady news, there literally hasn't been any sporting news, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah,
a lot of things are canceled. I mean, there's no sports on TV. NBA season is on hold. XFL is canceled, even though I wasn't really watching that. In the wrestling right now, with professional wrestling, they're having empty arena matches on Raw and SmackDown, and most likely WrestleMania coming up next month. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you know, you read my mind. Switching gears to wrestling. You know, wrestling is the only thing that's going on right now. You know, because even obviously the movie theaters are closed, so you know, movies are either going to be on demand or their release dates are going to be postponed till later this year or next year. You know. But right now, the only thing that's going on is wrestling, and as a result of this coronavirus, WrestleMania. WrestleMania is really you know, hit hard by this because it was originally going to be on April 5th, but this is going to be a WrestleMania in infamy. Not only is it going to be the first ever WrestleMania with no attendance. I mean, we all know how much Vince McMahon is always hyping up the number of attendance, which is the reason why you'll never see an MSG or a NBA arena, a WWE WrestleMania event anymore, is because they want to have the most attendance, and obviously a football stadium is the only one that could really hold a huge audience like that, but unfortunately for them, for the first time ever, it's going to be an empty arena, WrestleMania. And even worse than that, for the first time ever, it's going to be a two-day WrestleMania. Now, folks, you remember WrestleMania 2, they had a WrestleMania one night, but they had it in, like, I think, three different venues. They had it in Long Island, I think Chicago and L.A. that year. But this WrestleMania, it's gonna be in the Performance Center, where, you know, which is basically the home of NXT and, you know, their, you know, Performance Center, basically, where they train.
Yeah.
But for the first time ever, it's going to be a two-day WrestleMania. And to me, that is just the dumbest idea that they could have came up with. Here are the other options that they could have done. One, they could have canceled it, which I think that would have been a horrible, the worst case scenario, but it's understandable. No fans, no WrestleMania. It's not the same, you know, just cut your losses, cancel it. I understand that, but WrestleMania is an annual event. Obviously, you know, brought to prominence because of the fan base, since I think 84, if I'm assuming right. Or is it 85? I'm trying to think of the date. The first WrestleMania was 85, I think it was.
Yeah, it was in 85. WrestleMania, yes, that was the first year, correct.
So, yeah, ever since then, you know, the fans have made it what it was, you know, combined that with the wrestlers, the colorful wrestlers they had, you know, Hogan, Macho Man. I mean, I mean the list goes on and on. And, of course, the celebrities that they had at that time, you know, Muhammad Ali, Cyndi Lauper, Liberace, you know, all those. Trying to think who was the manager who was there. The Yankee manager. Wasn't he at that first or something also?
I think it's
the guy he kept firing. Steinbrenner kept firing his mother.
Yes. He was.
What's his name? It's escaping me right now. No, what's his name? Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot his name.
Why am I forgetting also?
I'm shocked. I'm stunned. Any other day, I would have known his name. Wait, let me think. He played for the Yankees, too.
Why am I thinking of...
He had the much. I see his face, the mustache. He had the issues with Reggie Jackson. I think he was a second baseman. What? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, damn. I'm going blank as Billy Martin.
Yeah, Billy Martin. Come on. I should be beating myself.
I was going blank also.
I don't know why I went blank for the first time ever. But anyway, Billy Martin was there too. But yeah, like I was saying, the celebrities, the fans, the wrestlers, it made it that perfect storm to make it what it was. So I understand you can never duplicate that without the fans there. And the celebrities can't be there either because there's no audience. So you got the two important variables or ingredients that made WrestleMania WrestleMania, but you can't cancel it. Unfortunately, WWE, they've had tragedies in and outside the ring, and the show must. They still have that mentality: the show must go on. So obviously, the only way it would have made sense that they cancel it altogether is if there was no weekly episodic all-new episodes of Raw and SmackDown with no empty arena. If there was no, if WrestleMania would have stopped, you know, WWE would have stopped, like, cold turkey without any content, then it would make sense. Because without, you know, if they would have went to the other option, which is postponing it, then they would have just been hyping up WrestleMania, God knows how long, until fall or summer, whenever this we have some sort of normalcy, you know, after this pandemic, is finally eliminated.
Yeah.
So you'd be hyping up WrestleMania forever. And, I mean, if you think it was tough taking the title off Brock Lesnar, I mean, until WrestleMania, imagine having nothing, you know, them just hyping it up and WrestleMania's pushed all the way until November, like Survivor Series, or I don't know, Royal Rumble next year, or no. I mean, it would be a disaster. So that would be another bad option. My option, me personally, the best option would be to just do it on April 5th. You know, just cut your losses. There's no audience. You know, no celebrities. You know, you're just going to do a live show. But they took the worst option, the most illogical option you could possibly take. You took a show that they've been hyping, a pay-per-view event that they've been hyping up for nearly four decades as the Super Bowl of wrestling, the granddaddy of them all. You know, one night only, everything go. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's the game seven of sports. You know what I mean? Like, one night only. And you're going to make it a two-day event?
Yeah,
so
crazy.
That's like a sporting equivalent of a draw. Like, you're going to have two nights? I mean, it's the dumbest idea they could have possibly come up with.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why drag it out to two nights? I mean, you're going to have the lesser matches on Saturday and have the main event
exactly
on Friday. You know, it's on Sunday, I should say. But, yeah, I don't get that. And plus, it's going to be in an empty arena, which is
going to
be worse.
There's no excuse to doing this. It's the dumbest idea they could have come up with.
Yeah.
So I mean, what more can you say? I mean, WWE, man, they're just continuing to make dumb ideas because, you know, the only audience they care about is the audience of one, and of course that's Vince McMahon. You know.
Yeah. Well, granted, you know, partly it's not their fault. I mean, because of this coronavirus pandemic.
No,
you know?
Of course. But so, making it two days is their fault. I'm blaming them. Making it a 2-day event is their fault. Obviously, the coronavirus is not their fault. Obviously.
Well, yeah.
I'm trying to think what else happened. Obviously, there was a confrontation between Goldberg and Roman Reigns. You know, hyping up their pay-per-view event. I mean, you know, their upcoming match. I don't know about you. I don't know if it's, you know, because there's an empty arena, which, I mean, it does give it a unique look to it, you know. But I don't know. These cards, man, I don't know. They're not, it's not spectacular. You know, I mean, there are some interesting matches. I mean,
the Wyatt Cena, I mean, we've seen that before WrestleMania.
Wyatt Cena, it only works as if Cena puts Wyatt over.
Yeah.
If Wyatt loses again, which I don't think Cena is going to do that. I mean, but if he does, I mean, that's just a waste of time. If Cena doesn't allow Wyatt to beat him, I mean, it's a waste of time, you know. He's gonna be a Triple H level of a barrier, you know, with a shovel. I mean, Cena already has that reputation already with, you know, Wyatt, Wade Barrett, you know, when Wade Barrett was with the Nexus.
NXT.
Yeah, when he was with Nexus right out of NXT, the original version of NXT. Yeah, I mean, he's buried a lot of. He's been a lot of wrestlers, you know, when they had the momentum to go to the next level.
Yep.
But, I mean, to Cena's credit, he has put people over in recent history. You know, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, you know, when he was there. Kevin Owens, when he made his WWE debut. Brock Lesnar, when he returned, when Cena was the cornerstone of Suplex City when he shocked everybody from suplexing him like 16 times. Like, who would have thought Cena would have lost and then got dominated with like 16 suplexes, man. And then the only thing that came close to it was maybe like a few years later when Brock Lesnar like demolished, you know, Randy Orton to the point he was bleeding. I mean, and of course, you know, Brock Lesnar, of course, infamously ended the streak with Undertaker at WrestleMania 30. But Yeah, I mean, Cena got to do the job, man, for Bray Wyatt. You know, it's like Bray Wyatt said, life is a circle, you know. You know, they're basically going back to where they started. This was the reason why the Wyatt, you know, the Firefly Funhouse, you know, was born, because, you know, he had to change up his character in order to be a, you know, a championship caliber wrestler again. So,
yeah.
That's what's important.
Yeah. There's not really a match that really stands out this year, you know, like a great match, you know, like in recent years.
We want to see the Drew McIntyre Brock Lesnar to see if Drew McIntyre will finally win the title, but
yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I'm trying to think. Oh, Shayna
AJ Styles and Undertaker might be great.
Yeah, that's gonna be the match of the pay per view event, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally made that official. Undertaker was beating up on the OC's Gallows and Anderson. I'm trying to think of anything else, really.
What about the women's match?
Yeah, Bailey is going to defend her title against her best friend, Sasha Banks, Naomi, I forgot the other, I think Lacey Evans, maybe Liv Morgan, I can't remember. It's like a six-person, six-pack match or something like that. But
something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Gronkowski made his debut.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of cringeworthy and awkward. Came out with that goofy dance. And then him and Mojo Rawley, they were beating up on King Barrett, King Corbin, and who's the other guy in the ring at the time? Who came in? Oh, yeah, Elias was the other guy.
I mean, it's expected. I mean, he's the only celebrity that's going to be in the ring. So.
Yep.
In the area, so.
I think he'll do a good job of hosting it, but, yeah, just dragging it to two nights, it doesn't make any sense.
No doubt about that. Yeah, I don't think there's any other news out of WWE other than that. But
yeah.
Shifting gears, AEW made some noise this past week. They had two major debuts. They had Matt Hardy debut. You know, he's a broken Matt Hardy. He's going to join, I think, the Elite, which has Cody Rhodes, the American Nightmare, of course. And then I think one of the Jackson brothers, one of them got hurt. I think Hangman Page was one of them too. But yeah, there's going to be like a 5-on-5. It's going to be the Inner Circle, which is Jericho's group that has Jack Swagger, but now he's called Jake Hager. That might be his real name. And Matt Hardy is joining the Elite to go against Jericho's Inner Circle.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the big reveal at the end of the show. People thought earlier that night, Matt Hardy was going to be revealed to be the leader of the Dark Order, which is basically like a Wyatt family cult faction that they have. Oh, you know what would be a perfect analogy to it would be the Ministry, Ministry of Darkness that they had in WWE. Basically, they thought Matt Hardy would have been revealed as the higher power, or the exalted one, as they call him in AEW. But instead, Luke Harper, now known as Brody Lee, was revealed to be the much-anticipated leader, the exalted one. So they revealed that, but if you saw the footage, the clip, basically – Brody Lee, formerly known as Luke Harper, when he was going for it, you know, he has a discus clothesline as his finisher.
Mm-hmm, right.
But before he did it, he paid homage to Bray Wyatt. He did he grabbed the, I forgot who he grabbed. Could have been Kazarian or Daniels. I can't remember who he grabbed. He grabbed somebody. I can't remember who it was. He you know how Bray Wyatt does the bow, he grabs a person and does like a bow before he kisses them on the forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. He didn't kiss the person on the forehead, but he did that bow, like that tangle dip before he did the, like that tangle dip, and then he, you know, for like a few seconds, he acted like he was going to do the Sister Abigail, but then he let the opponent go, and then he did the, you know, his vintage discus clothesline to knock the guy out. I mean, it wasn't a match, but he, you know, he basically laid the person out. So,
wow.
You know, props to, you know, Brody Lee for, you know, paying homage to his former leader from the Wyatt family with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I have to watch AEW. I haven't watched that in months.
Mm-hmm. And back on the WWE side, NXT, on the NXT show, they were hyping up the upcoming matchup between two best friends, former best friends and bitter rivals, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, you know, NXT originals who've been there for forever, you know, basically made this newer version of NXT, put them on the map. And of course, you know, they've had a cup of coffee in the WWE, even though they've been, you know, basically, they basically want to stay their whole career in NXT. Tommaso Ciampa basically said that he wants to retire in the NXT. So those two guys, they were in a tag team, DIY, and you know, they both tasted gold, you know, with that company. But now, Johnny Gargano, he's the villain, and Tommaso Ciampa is the good guy. A few years ago, was the tables was turned, you know, heel and baby face wise. I mean, it's pretty similar to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn storyline. Basically, those guys, you know, they're either you know, best friends or bitter rivals, and they switch heel and face. You know, so that's a great rivalry those two have. But the state of wrestling, other than this, the pandemic, I mean, it's promising. I mean, WWE, man, they gotta use the talent that they have, or they're gonna end up on AEW.
Yeah.
And that's why Matt Hardy left, because he spoke on Talk Is Jericho recently on Friday night after they had the confrontation on AEW Dynamite. They were able to put their wink wink differences that they have, you know, and they had a friendly conversation on the show. And basically Matt Hardy was saying that WWE was trying to re-sign him, you know, throw, you know, a lot of money at him, but he didn't want to remain because they wanted to stop his creative, you know, abilities. He had a lot of plans for the Broken Matt Hardy gimmick, which he revealed he wanted to use that gimmick to change his character so that he won't, you know, to preserve his in-ring career, you know, be more of a comedic, entertaining character. Because you got to admit, Matt Hardy as, you know, the Broken version, I mean, he's been popular. I mean, he's even surpassed Jeff Hardy in popularity, which I never would have thought that in a million years that would happen. And he admitted that was a way for him to preserve his career, so him and Jeff Hardy won't be spot monkeys and, you know, God forbid, paralyze themselves, you know, force themselves to be retired from all the injuries they've had in the ring. The reason why he left is because he had huge plans for the booking Matt Hardy gimmick in WWE and for Bray Wyatt, but WWE just kept shooting down his plans, his ideas. So basically, most recently, you know, during that whole Edge, you know, Randy Orton storyline where Randy Orton attacked them, basically, Paul Heyman behind the scenes asked him point blank if he's leaving. So, you know, he said he doesn't know, but basically, you know, if he doesn't have created the, you know, creative control of his character, he's going to take his talents elsewhere. And that's what he did. You know, he left and now he's in AEW. And I mean, to me, he made the right decision because, I mean, if he's a guy who got, you know, he got well paid and he sees his character is dying in the company and they're not going to use him, they're just going to sign him just to keep him away from AEW or any other company. I mean, that's pretty selfish, you know.
Yeah.
If you're not going to use them, let them go. You know. What's your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, I mean, again, I haven't seen AEW in months. So I don't know what the hell's going on in a wrestling organization right now. But I am intrigued of all these wrestlers that in WWE that have been going there the last few months, especially Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Since we last saw Matt Hardy a couple weeks ago, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
In WWE in his last match. But to see him now in AEW playing a big role, I mean, that's great for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have a pay-per-view during that WrestleMania week?
Well, they were going to have a pay-per-view, Blood and Guts. It was going to be in New Jersey, but now it's postponed.
Mm.
But
so everything's on standstill at the moment.
Yeah. Other than WWE's going through with the WrestleMania, everything else has been, you know, nothing's been going on.
Right.
We didn't even mention John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose. I mean,
yeah.
AEW, man, WWE, man, they're sleeping at the wheel, man. They have so much talent. You know, they got Cesaro, they got Rusev, who they're not using, which most likely he's going to leave. You know, I mean, they have so much talent.
Yeah.
They're not even using those guys. Vince is reportedly cold on Ricochet too.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So basically, they're like on Titus O'Neil, Apollo Crews, Cedric Alexander. You know, they're like on that level of basically, you know, guys who they thought had promise. You could even put Bobby Lashley on that group.
Yeah.
Guys who they thought had promise, and then they just crap on them and then either give them huge contracts to prevent them from signing with AEW or New Japan Wrestling or any of those other companies, or, you know, let them go. I mean, they just want to give them money to bury them and just not use them.
A lot of these guys are finding opportunities somewhere else where they couldn't be used. You know, that's the thing, you know, and hopefully one day they'll be back in WWE.
Yeah, it worked wonder for Drew McIntyre and John Morrison. You know, they had to take the step. They had to take they had to leave. They had to step up. They had to take two step out the door to make that, you know, three steps, back into the company. And look at Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is one win away from, at WrestleMania to fulfilling his chosen one prophecy that Vince McMahon said on the air many, many years ago. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. So is there anything, you know, you'd like to say?
No, just come back, check out Sports Room Legend every Saturdays at 11. And you guys stay safe out there with all this coronavirus craziness going on.
Yeah, you heard the guy, man. Come back for Sports Urban Legend every Saturday is at 11. And, also check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. Again, this channel is every Saturday at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. And, we'll be back hopefully next week. And most importantly, stay safe, man. And my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody who's directly affected by this pandemic, man. Guys are in my prayers, man. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo. And I'll see you guys next week, hopefully. Peace.